Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesch, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesch.
Hey there, Bear fans!
So, we have missed 2 weeks. We understand that we have missed 2 weeks, but I will fill you in. I had to rip up my carpet. I had to lay hardwood floor. It was the best thing I've ever done. I have a dog, so I had to get the dog smell out. I had to get just easier to clean up this vinyl flooring than it is carpet. And then on top of that, last week was an absolute shit show for truck driving for me in general, so I was stuck out all the time, was not getting home till 2 in the morning, and then heading back out at 9 in the morning, etc., etc. Don't need to bore you with the details, but that's what happened. That's why we didn't miss this week, but we're going to do one this week, and we're going to do one. We're going to continue to do one. So thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for hanging in there. And let's talk Bears football, which has gone downhill since we've last been on this podcast. Let's talk about the Gateway game. We had a chance to make ourselves relevant against the Browns and actually kind of maybe, you know, go on a little bit of end the season run, and then they closed that window really quick. So with that being said, you have a statistic that you have been dying to read.
I have a statistic that I've been dying to read. You know, you guys have been listening to our podcast, and thank you very much. And, you know, the thing we've been saying over and over again is Everflub is a bad, bad coach. He's just not good. Well, what about this particular statistic? Because I really, really like it. And I just lost where it was at. And so it's back again. And hold on. So get this, okay? No head coach in NFL history, not Bears history, NFL history, has ever lost multiple games in a single year despite owning a 10-plus point lead and at least a plus-2 turnover margin heading into the fourth quarter. No coach ever in NFL history. And Matt Everflub was able to do it twice.
Yeah, and I don't want to harp on this the whole time. I think we have a lot more to talk about, and I think we will talk about. We've already given you guys our opinion on the coaching staff. I do want to just, before we get on from the coaching, I do want to bring this up, and then we'll have our conversation and we'll end it, because I'm obviously, I think everyone needs to be fired. Let's talk about this, though. Adam Schefter comes out with a report saying that the Bears are still have not made a decision, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I think the decision has to be made. I don't understand how it's not made. So you're telling me they were going to clear house before we beat the Washington Commanders, but that gave him all this extension. Then he picks up his first ever 2 games in a row. The guy has only ever won 2 games back-to-back, 2 in a row, once. And it's taken him almost 2 full years. They had a phenomenal game against the Browns. That just, you know, this is what happens when you have players out there who shouldn't be, you know, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, we gave that game away. We just handed that game to the Browns. The Browns did not deserve to win that game at all.
Absolutely not.
So, to me, I feel like this whole media thing is just, it's a joke.
It ticks me off.
It ticks me off, too. I told you earlier, I feel like there is no relevancy to this.
There's not. Ian Rappaport even came out and he almost mimicked what Adam Scheffler said about the Bears still haven't made a real decision regarding Matt Everflub because they still think that the team has made progress. Okay, guys, let me tell you something.
But do you? I didn't mean to cut you off, but let's stick here for just 1 second. Do you believe the reports? Because I don't. We don't let anyone in. No one could get to the... No one still doesn't know the real reason Dennis Allen is fired. No one even talks about our running backs coach that got fired.
I think it's all speculation.
Right. That's thank you. Because they keep saying it's a report, but we have seen it year in and year out. No one knows what's going on. They do. I will give the Bears credit for as big as a shitty ship that they're running. They do keep things pretty closed in to only they know. So I am not buying this at all.
Yeah, I know. I think what pissed me off, and I can't ever say what pisses you off, but I know what pisses me off, is like, seriously, Adam Scheffler, Ian Rappaport, have you guys ever watched a couple Bears games this year? You wouldn't even be saying that he was still in the running to be... Basically, the result of both of those articles is that the Bears have not made a decision and he's still in the running to remain the coach for next year.
But the media wins, right?
Yes.
Because look what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm sorry. I'm like a fish. I took the bait and I know I took the bait, but I needed to take the bait because it needs to be talked about. I think it has absolutely no credibility to the report. I think it's full of shit. How are you telling me the dude won 3 games last year and he's won 5 games this year? He's won 8 games in 2 years and you're like, hey, we're going the right direction? Absolutely fucking not. What you need to talk about is what we need to talk about now. We are in a pickle. And I have told myself, I think I just have to be okay with going with, if we get Caleb Williams, we get Caleb Williams. And I think I'm going to be okay with that. And I just need to root on Justin Fields as an individual. The plays he was making, man. The touchdown to Cole Kmet out of the back of the end zone, him running. The drop passes. First off, I would like to say, hey, officials, what's the call here? I've never been one about saying the NFL is rigged. And I understand that they call games tighter in the beginning and then they let stuff go. But that Hail Mary interception, not only was that horrible coaching, why you want to try a 55-yard field goal, I understand you and me were both screaming about that. But let's talk about Fields throws the ball and then gets clocked 2 seconds after the play happens, after he releases the ball.
Yeah.
No. No, if that's roughing the passer, that ball gets moved up 15 yards, then what does that 55-yard turn into? It turns into a 40. Okay, we probably kicked that, right? No, they didn't even give it to us. And it was funny because people keep saying, and in the media, they're like, oh, Justin Fields is arguing with the officials about saying that ball was intercepted. I don't think it was intercepted. I think it hit the... No, you dumb shits. Like, how are we the only ones, and by we, I include our listeners because our listeners are just as intelligent as we are. And I say that in a kind of a cocky way because I think everyone saw that. Everyone goes, whoa, late hit. No one was sitting there going, oh, he didn't intercept it.
Right. Exactly, Tyler. I think you brought up a really good point, and that is the fact that everyone can trust their eyes, right?
Yeah, but I mean... If that's Patrick Mahomes, oh my God.
Oh my God, the flag is coming out so freaking fast.
If that's Josh Allen, if that's anyone, and I'm sick of having that call the game the same damn way. I don't care if that's Jordan Love. I hate the Packers, but a foul is a foul.
I tell you, though.
A foul is a foul.
I tell you, what I don't like about the NFL, and you can disagree with me all you want, but with black quarterbacks, I remember Cam Newton used to get the shit beat out of him. And there wasn't a flag that would come out. Justin Fields a couple times he's gotten freaking blown away and the flag doesn't come out. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying that somehow it seems to me that with black quarterbacks, the flag doesn't come out as quick.
But do you think that's more racial, or is it because they're runners?
I don't know. I think they're more athletic and they're running the ball, and somehow they're not given as much leeway, which is crazy. I think
I will kind of correct you though. Donovan McNabb got a lot of calls. He was very good in the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it depends though, right? Because Donovan kind of. Same with Randall Cunningham. It's weird. I'm with you, but I think it's because I don't think it's racial. I think what it is it's because as their careers in the beginning, they're out of the pocket, they're running around, and they're going to call it differently, which is still bullshit.
That's the piece I have a problem with.
It's still bullshit, but I'm saying as far as the racial component with it, I don't personally see it. Now, I could be wrong, you know. What I'm trying to say, though, is you see it at their game as they slow down throughout the years and become more of like a quote-unquote pocket passer. Then they start to get the calls. I think it's more of the big names because, I mean, you know, I don't think you can do the racial thing just because where does Mahomes fall? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it.
I see what you're saying.
It just seems like, and maybe I shouldn't have mentioned the black quarterbacks, but it just seems like the quarterbacks that were very mobile in their early careers and ran a lot tended not to get a lot of the, you know.
Right, but I don't think this is a podcast with freedom of speech, and if you see, so you didn't say anything wrong, you didn't see anything bad, it's, you know, if you don't like what you heard, you know, write us a strongly worded note, and we'll probably read it once and throw it away. No, I'm just kidding. We would throw it away right away. But, I mean, it's just, honestly, it's just an observation.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. I think, though, to get back to everything... I mean, it all falls on Fields. Look, the defense is playing great. Jalen Johnson deserves a new contract. Eddie Jackson's still playing at a decent level. I want to say it's a high level.
Yep. Jalen Johnson also said, not to interrupt, but Jalen Johnson also said he wants to return and be a Bear next year. Yeah.
Hello, Bears. Hello.
He's really clear. He's kind of sending you a signal.
So, you know, with all that being said, we do need to bring this up. I have been critical of Ryan Poles. I don't know if that's all fair now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he has done, if you look at his whole overall body of work, it's pretty good. He's had a few misses. I'll be the first to admit it. The Montez Sweat thing, I was confused by.
Turned out to be genius, hasn't it?
That man is the first ever player right now, and if the season goes accordingly, to lead two separate teams in a single season, their sack leader.
That is think of the type of people we've had who have been sack leaders in the NFL, and he will hold two records with two NFL franchises in the same season.
Well, yeah, but you can't compare it to, like, other people because of the circumstance. They haven't been traded halfway through the season.
You got to admit, it's pretty freaking cool stat.
It's a great statistic. It's a great stat, but, I mean, and then look, he's going to get us hopefully the number one overall pick again this year.
He's been a beast.
No, but I'm saying polls. Like, you know, the Claypool thing, disaster.
Yep.
Okay, but, you know, he did get a pick back. I think, though, like, if you look over his whole body of work, and we will in the offseason, I guarantee you, I don't have everything in front of me right now, and I'm just going to be honest, but I'm just starting to think, guys, about, as I just hit the mic right into my face, as a fan and everything, he's not doing that bad of a job, but the problem, and it is becoming the biggest problem, is him not wanting to pull the trigger on Eberflus. Now, we don't know if this is true. I believe we'll find out at the season end, and I believe we're going to find out very fast. I'm going to be nervous if the Bears don't act right away within the first week. If a week goes by and we hear nothing, we're fucked. I think he's going to bring him back. And in that case, then Poles needs to be fired.
Well, we've got Black Monday coming up. And as you fans all know, the Black Monday is the day that the coaches that were on the fence are now being fired. I think Everflub is destined.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We don't do Black Monday. We're not going to do it. You've already talked about it. We're going to hold out. We continue to hold out. We continue to be this team. You know what I mean? Like, it continues to happen over and over again. Look at Brandon Staley fired after just getting whomped. I mean, there comes a point where it's like, who are you? Like, here's my thing. I think it builds morale in the team. I do. Hey, we're trying to win here. I think it sends the wrong message when it's okay. We're still debating if we want to be a loser club or not.
Yeah.
Why? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, Tyler, let's think back to week 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. We got our butts beat, which we all expected. That wasn't any big surprise. We all knew going in that the Kansas City would beat us badly. After the game, if you remember, Luke Nogutsky basically said, hey, listen, this offense is coming together. You just need to be patient. It's not week 14. It's week 3. Those were pretty much his exact words. So we're now heading into week 16. I don't see the improvement in the offense, and I have not been patient.
But there has been a huge improvement in Fields, if you put his numbers.
Absolutely. Which is That's crazy. The piece that I wanted. Please expand on that, because that's the piece I wanted
to
talk
about.
Well, I
mean, they brought up his numbers during the game, and if you watch the game, his leap from year one to year now has been crazy.
Yeah,
and it's
tremendous. Good.
And it's what you want to see. I think, again, we have not developed him with the right people around him. The offensive line needs to get better. Darnell Mooney needs to get off the team. He can't hold on to a Hail Mary. I mean, that was right in his hands. Cole Kmet, not very good in my opinion. I know that's a controversial opinion in some places. I just don't think he's worth the money you pay. I just don't.
I think
he's a big, slow tight end.
I'm in total agreement. He has 3 or 4 games a year in which Cole Kmet looks like a number one tight end.
DJ Moore, outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, that came with, again, Ryan Poles gets DJ Moore, and he might get the first pick in the draft again. Yeah. What I'm trying to say, though, and bring it all back to real quick, Dad, is I don't know how you feel, but I feel for almost my sanity as a fan, I have to be okay with whatever they choose, even though knowing that's probably not going to be what I would do.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same way, Ty. If you want to know the truth, my heart is with Fields.
Yeah, mine is too. I mean,
I'm honest about it. My heart is with Fields. I think he's improved. I think he has even. This sounds paranoid, but I'm like, if you guys know me, I'm one of the least paranoid people you'll ever freaking meet. But I don't think Nogutsky likes Fields. I don't think he likes him at all.
That's and I agree with that. He's never over there talking to him. That's another weird thing with our coaches. Our coaches are very hands off, which you love to see that with your coaches. Not. I would like to bring up a very valid point with Trubisky. When Trubisky was in the offense, you would see players wide open and Trubisky overthrowing. With Fields, you're seeing players wide open and dropping the ball. Now, Fields does miss some throws that he should make.
Yeah, he had
There's
a couple.
No question. There's,
yeah, not we're not saying he's perfect.
But, I mean, we're talking about Tonyan dropping a touchdown wide open.
Oh, my God.
Fields was on the run, throwing dimes. And, look, we have a lot. Like, our team on paper, it took them a while to get the defensive concept. The defensive concept still sucks. It's not going to work every week. It's not a for sure thing. The cover two is built for, I don't even know what it's built for other than stopping a big play. Cause I was going to say right there, it's built for leads, but it's not because it's easy to nickel and dime all the way down the field.
Absolutely. Listen, here's the deal. There is no doubt. I mean, all these talking heads out there keep discussing how the defense has improved. Absolutely, it's improved. Montez Sweat has been amazing. I mean, he has helped that defense out so much. It has improved. There is no doubt about it. But guess what? What hasn't improved is the inconsistency on offense, and the play calling is so consistent that Tyler will tell you, I can sit on the couch and call the plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very...
I shouldn't be able to do that.
No. And it comes down to... I know we said we weren't going to talk about this, but I guess I'm done saying that because we just go right back into it because it's just... it's the giant zit on someone's face you can't help but to stare at. Yeah. Like, why won't they pop it? Yeah. And they're not popping it. And you're like, God, they need to pop it.
It's like that mole, you know? Moley mole.
No, well, I was saying a zit because a zit's faster to remove than a mole. And they could remove that zit pretty quick here.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking of Austin Powers. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Guacamole.
Yeah, yeah.
I just sit here and I'm like, I'm torn because here's my thought.
I'm with you, buddy. I think I know where you're going, but I don't know.
If Caleb Williams is as good as they've been saying, you got to take him.
Yeah.
You can't miss out on that generational level of talent.
See, that's my issue, though. Is he really as good, or is it just Justin Fields 2.0?
He has a bigger arm. Fields is faster. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
It's so hard to say.
See, that's what I'm struggling with, buddy. I'm struggling with, is he really better? But I guess if you're going to have a contest, I guess if you're going to say, okay, well, keep Fields and he and Caleb can
and they're not gonna
duel
do
it out, but I don't think that's happening, do you?
Well, that's what I want, but they're not going to do it. They'll refuse.
So you know Fields is going to be traded away. Absolutely.
I don't know. Is he? I mean, yeah. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, he will be.
I don't know. Do you think so?
Yeah. A team like the Atlanta Falcons will pick him up.
Well, you're saying if we take Caleb. I'm saying I don't think we take him.
Oh.
They'll trade a King's ransom.
Mr. Kitzel.
I don't know where they're going is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But it makes me nervous because I really like Fields, but at the same time, that's going to hurt. Like, this is going to sound like me being a petty, shitty person, and that's because this is going to be me sounding like a petty, shitty person.
Okay.
If we trade the pick away, whatever quarterback goes one or two, actually just one, I am rooting for them to have a horrible career. I know that sounds bad, but you know, we can't do the Mahomes thing again.
Oh, God, I know.
I mean, he already...
That was a killer.
And then when we find out, like, remember after he scored on us and we're like, why is he counting numbers? Oh, well, that's because our dumb GM said that he was going to take him. And then he switched last second. The biggest mistake ever that's just going to haunt us. Haunt us. I mean... Trubisky is so bad. He can't fit into any system. He can't even be a backup in this league. For him to be the third overall pick is just astonishing.
Well, the other amazing thing with Trubisky, if you guys remember, is how little college play he had.
Oh, that's weird. Who else had that? But was really successful. Oh, that's right. Ryan Tannehill. Oh, that's right. He wasn't really successful. That's another thing. Like, there are certain athletes that I am convinced get their bag and give up, and he is one of them. Because he played like shit for Miami at the end. And then all of a sudden he goes to Tennessee, and you're like, damn, maybe Ryan Tannehill is really good. Gets a $100 million contract, plays like shit.
Yeah.
I don't like to judge someone's character without knowing them, but on the surface level, dude, you look like a quitter.
Kind of looks that way, doesn't it?
It looks like a big old quitter to me.
Yeah.
The thing too, though, to get back to this, because we are in this predicament. Fields is a good on and off the field guy. I don't personally know him. You don't ever know him by interviews and stuff. But he just seems like he wants to play with us and he cares.
Yes.
And you see him on the sidelines getting down. And then you see him getting on the high, pumping his fist. And
yeah, he's not. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he's not an apathetic player. That kind of, you know, you got some people on some teams that kind of just go over to the sidelines and you're wondering, does he even really care?
Yeah, and then, but to be fair, some of those players turn it on.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and you know what? To be fair to all players, it doesn't really matter your enthusiasm as long as you play good. We're not, as fans, yeah, we're not really going to care. But it is, like, it's weird because we're just dumb fans and we do invest in that. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Luke Kuechly. Remember him?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, who is this guy? Because, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever watched that video of him, the highlight thing that they show where he's like, they're like some curly kid from Boston College. He's like, hi, guys. Yeah, how's everyone doing? And then they're like, but when he hits the field, he's like, yellow, alert, alert, alert. Like, I mean, he's like, boom, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and he's cussing at people. And then, like, after the game, he's like, hey, that was a great game out there. I mean,
yeah.
You have to have that mentality for that kind of speed in the game.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to be able to go to another level, right, and turn it on. Here's my concern. Now, I will take 100% ownership for what I'm about to say. But there is a huge part of me, and I would be lying if I didn't say this. There's a huge part of me that wants us to hold on to Justin Fields and with the first pick. Because we will get the number one pick, we're going to take Marvin Harrison.
Not with the number one. You can't.
Oh, man.
You can't.
He's so damn good,
you
Tyler.
Can't. You
He's
can't.
So damn good.
You can't. You have to trade out then and then get him somewhere else. You can't. You can't.
You don't think he's worth a first pick?
No.
Okay.
Not with Caleb Williams on the board.
See, I just don't know if Caleb Williams is the same guy we have on... starting for us right now.
People are saying he's a can't miss.
Okay. You know?
You can't. Here's my thing, though. You can't not take him. Does that make sense?
Say more.
You can't. You cannot take another player one and not take him. You either trade out or you take him. That's the only option. Because if he becomes a Hall of Famer, and even if Marvin Harrison Jr. becomes a Hall of Famer, tell yourself right now, which one would you rather have, a Hall of Fame wide receiver or a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Yeah, true. I want a quarterback each and every time.
Exactly. Because
they've got the ball in their hands.
Exactly.
The majority of the time. So, absolutely.
So you see what I'm saying? You would have to trade down and then trade back up and get him.
So you think there's a possibility that world could exist for us to get both?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're at five.
Right, right now we will have the number one pick and the number five
pick. As of now.
Yeah.
But I mean...
But do you think Marvin Harrison...
Well, you know what really hurts?
Goes... Doesn't he go like two or three or four?
Hard to tell right now. It's too early because you know what happens. GMs are fucking dumb, and one guy has a good a workout routine, and they go nuts. Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. And I bring up Aaron Curry all the time, too. The linebacker who just had a great combine, who was projected in the fifth round, and then he shoots up to the third overall pick, plays 4 years in the league, and then retires. Stick to your guns.
Yeah, by the way, folks, the combine doesn't mean shit.
No, it doesn't mean anything. 40 times mean nothing.
Yeah.
They really do.
Do you guys look back? Look how Jerry Rice did in the combine. Pretty average.
Yeah, but I mean, also, how can you judge someone off something that they've been planning for their entire career? They literally hire so-called combine specialists to go through the drills. When they do the 40, they get into a track runner stance to shoot out. It really doesn't matter. Like, honestly, I think it's stupid that the linemen run it, but it's also very entertaining, and it's cool to see a guy that big run that fast. I'm not going to lie. It's entertaining as a fan, but it's mind-boggling that GMs invest and go to Indianapolis to watch this. That doesn't make any sense.
So when is the next time your offensive or defensive lineman is going to be in a track stance ready to take off?
Exactly. I mean, it makes no sense. And also, game speed and just 40 speed are different.
Oh, totally different.
Totally. I mean, you can't teach. I mean, also, a big thing, like, if you look at Tyreek Hill, oh, yeah, he's fast. But there's players that can beat him in a sprint. What defines... What makes him so good is he's a good route runner, but what makes him even better is his how fast he accelerates from a standstill.
Let me tell you the most important thing.
But you see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it is.
I agree.
It's his ability, how he stops on a dime, and then he's gone.
Yeah. Let me give you a great example of a wide receiver this year that was taken in the fifth round, Tyler. The fifth round. And he's outstanding. And you know why he's outstanding? Because he can find holes in the field. His name is Puka Nacua. And he is able, watch him. If you guys watched him last night against the Saints, he had, 184 yards and one TD, or 164 yards and one TD. Watch what he does. This is a fifth rounder. The GM for the Rams ought to be given a frickin' gold star and a raise, okay? If he was the one that found him, because he can find the opening in zones so well, and it's because it's what's between the ears, folks. A lot of people have athleticism. Not a lot of people can be able to pick zone reads and be able to pick their spot and include that in the route that they're supposed to run. And he can do it perfectly. I mean, is he not a great example of a gem taken in the fifth round? You can get really, really good wide receivers in the fifth round.
I mean, you can. I believe they got lucky, too, to a certain degree. But, I mean, you're right. But, like, as far as, like, the team, there's so many decisions to be made. Like, we have the possibility of having the first pick 2 years back-to-back.
Yeah.
And we're still debating on the quarterback. And I think that's why you're going to see him take Caleb Williams.
Yep.
And I really, really, really hope Justin Fields finds a really good home.
I do, too. I mean,
I would love to see him be a 49er. That's my personal opinion. I don't think Brock Purdy is... I think he's very system-oriented, and I think if you put someone in like Justin Fields, you would see that offense go to a whole nother level.
I think also the other place I'd like to see him go is if Arthur Smith was fired. God, I hope Arthur Smith gets fired at the Atlanta Falcons. If Arthur Smith was fired, I think the Atlanta Falcons, with London and all of the weapons they have in Atlanta, and also with the run game with Robinson, oh my God, perfect place for a running quarterback like Fields. I think Fields could take him to a Super Bowl. I really could. I know I'm biased, but I really think, look at the weapons they have.
I mean, I just think he needs but look at him. If he went to the Rams, I think the Rams would be better.
Yeah.
Eventually. I think Stafford's still playing at a super high level, but like, I'm just trying to think of a good coaching scheme to put him into.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Arthur Smith, no one wants to go there. I'm saying if Arthur Smith was fired, they'd be
but
a good
I'm
place
saying,
to go.
But even then, you don't know who they're going to bring in, so I would say no. I think you got to go. He's got to figure out what works best for him and what team sets up for. And in my opinion, would be the 49ers, and he might have to sit a year. But I don't think Purdy's as good as... I mean, I just don't. I think, look at him, how much he struggled when they lost Debo. They had a banged up McCaffrey and Trent Williams. I get that, but that was only three players, and they lost three games.
I think for me, Tyler, what's going to be painful is I think we will end up taking Caleb Williams, and I think we will get the first pick. But what's going to be painful is when they let Justin go, is watching him. It's going to be bittersweet. It's going to be watching him rise like a meteor to do really, really well with another team. And unfortunately, what held him back was not his ability, but was our coaching staff. And that's the sad part. That's the sad part. I will always root for Justin Fields because I think he's a great guy. I think he's got great talent. But I do believe we're going to let him go. I think even if we went out, which is questionable, but I think even if we went out, we let him go. We're not going to pick up the fifth year.
You don't need to yet.
Any way we keep him?
Yeah, I told you already. Said you trade the Ryan the first. They have two options. They either trade the first pick or they take Caleb Williams, and that's when you'll know.
But you think they're going to take Caleb Williams?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think you have to. As big as a fan of I am, you can't miss out. You have to take that chance.
Yeah.
And if Field turns out to be good, then that's no shock to me because you're not going out there and picking a coach to put into place to be successful. You're not giving that young man a chance. And I'm not saying, you know, we could do the same damn thing to Caleb Williams and ruin him. We've talked about that on the podcast before.
Oh, my God. The Bears are where quarterbacks have gone to die.
But you yes and no. I will disagree with that in a little bit. Because when have we ever been in the position to take the top-tier quarterbacks? Never. Not till now. Never. We have either had to get them in trades or free agency. We have never been in position to go up in the draft and take the guy that everyone wants. We are in that position now. You have to take it. Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. You know, that would be an interesting stat to look at. I cannot remember a time, at least in my lifetime, and I'm 65, where we have had the opportunity to get the number one quarterback.
We brought that up last year on the podcast. We didn't get a first-round pick since, like, 1973.
That's right. That's right.
So it's...
Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. I know. I just love the talent of Justin Fields, and I'm already starting to grieve for him and not having him, but I just think that's the way this thing's going to go.
The scary,
I don't like it.
The scary part is, well, I mean, I think the scarier part of this whole scenario that no one's talking about is, we need to act now and we need to act quick. We need to dump the coach. Look at all the teams that are already offloading coaches. Okay? We're going to have to act. We're going to have to start going. I rethought about this too. And I want to bring this to your attention. I was listening to Jay Glazer talk on a podcast, and Jay was saying how, and forgive me if this is a repeat story on this podcast, sometimes I forget what I talk to my dad in private and what is actually said on the airways. Basically, I'll cut the story short. He said everyone thinks, oh, you need to hire a quarterback guy. He goes, you need to hire a guy who is a locker room guy, who is not like Bill Belichick, beats people down. He needs to be more like a Tomlin, more of a player's coach, maintaining personalities. That's actually the job of a head coach. I have heard that, and it made way more sense to me than I thought, and I felt dumb for not thinking this. I am now rooting for Michigan to win the national championship, and if there's a way to bury the hatchet, bring Jim Harbaugh home. I would be all for that. I think, you know, regardless, and the whole cheating allegations and stuff, I get it. Was it against the rules? Yeah, but it's also like everyone says, you know, you can put up on the tape and look at the signals. Like, they change them every week. And also, guess what, college? There's a real simple way to get around all this. just do what the NFL does and put a fucking microphone in the headset. I don't, and they're put a microphone in the headset, put a microphone in the helmet. So I think Harbaugh would bring culture. And I think, you know, I mean, look what he did for Kaepernick. Kaepernick was a beast. You know, he's mm-hmm. dealt with those mobile quarterbacks. And I think Fields has way more accuracy than he does. And also, you know, Harbaugh being at the college level, if the rumors are true that we met with him in Detroit, I think what you do is you go from there. What I'm trying to say is you got to get a coach in fast and you got to figure out the fucking game plan. And he needs to be a part of this game plan. He, you know, Harbaugh knows Fields.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State, Michigan.
Yep.
He knows Caleb Williams.
No, it makes a ton of sense. So let's take that a step further.
Could we pry him away, though?
Yeah. You knew exactly where it was going.
I don't think we can pry him away, though, unless they win a national championship.
I agree. So I'm going to just put this scenario out there. They win the national championship, and somehow, by hook or by crook, Tyler, we get Harbaugh. So he's now our head coach. Who's our offensive coordinator?
Well, I think you got to trust him. He knows best.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you have any ideas? Because I do.
No, I have none.
What about Johnson out of Detroit, who's their offensive coordinator right now?
No, God, no. Think so? No, not even close.
What about Bieniemy?
Why do you think him? No. Both head coaches next year, hands down. Easy, done. Ben Johnson's already reportedly looking for $15 million a year to be a head coach.
Okay. I was just trying to think of some people that had some...
No, but you're thinking of, like, and I'm not trying to be rude, you're thinking of established people who are offensive coordinators who have never had a shot at being a head coach. They are not going to go want to be an offensive coordinator. Why would Bieniemy go from Kansas City to Washington to try to prove himself to Chicago to be an offensive coordinator? It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. What?
I would like Bieniemy, though, too, because I have heard players talk about him and they'll run through a brick wall for him. They said he's awesome and he's all about letting players be themselves and he understands the game. And I think we need to find someone like that. I think Hardball's good.
Yeah, I think he's very good.
It made a lot of sense. I felt dumb when Jay Glazer said that. I was like, man, I've been looking at this all wrong.
Yeah.
But like Shannon, like look at Mike McDaniels. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know, everyone keeps wanting to call us frauds. We're not frauds. We're just playing games. You lose some, you win some. Yeah. He goes, last time I checked, we're still running to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny because he's new. So the Dolphins get criticized, but the Chiefs are having monumental problems and they're not getting criticized.
Yeah. It's part of the game. I love Mike McDaniels, by the way. I just love him as a coach. I think he's
funny. Yeah. I think he's laid back. He's a great personality.
What I love is how genuine he is.
Very genuine.
Yeah.
And I mean that. And those are kind of players you want to play for. And I think
coaches you want to play for, right?
Yeah, players. Sorry. But like, look at the vacancies right now. We got the Chargers. We got the Raiders. We got. Why am I blanking now?
Chargers, Raiders. Who was the other? What was it? Why am I going blank on the other team? I'm doing the same thing you are. There were three teams.
Yeah, I swear. That's what so, I thought.
Anyway,
us.
But here's my concern. Again, it comes back to in this kind of environment, you have to be aggressive, right? You have to get rid of your coach. You have to get rid and you
Falcons.
Got, Falcons.
Falcons are going to move on.
Yeah. Oh, Arthur Smith. Right.
Yeah.
But
Bucks move on. Right.
Yep.
Todd Bowles.
I think Todd Bowles is gone too.
Rumor is Patriots. Rumor is that is not a rumor.
Yes.
Bill Belichick is getting a lot of traction.
Right.
And the rumor is Bill to Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about even the coach of the Saints? He might be gone too. I mean,
is Daboll gone? I mean,
right now we're
going through a big list.
Yeah, he could be gone too.
We need to come up with a fucking decision because
this is where I'm going. Because here's the deal: if we wait and wait and wait like the Bears typically do, we're going to end up not getting the coach we want, but getting the coach that's available.
But listen to this. This makes the most sense. Clear house immediately. Because you tell me right now, what head coach is going to look at the Bears roster, look at the Bears lineup, and go, oh, and they have the first pick?
Yeah, and they have a defense.
You have all the cards.
Yes. Yes.
Do not, because they're not going to, see, here's the problem, right? If you don't get rid of your head coach, the other coaches are going, well, I can't wait around to see if they get rid of him. But, those head coaches will wait around if they know, well, the Bears' job is still open.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
a really good point.
That's the big one.
Yeah. Yeah, because listen, think of this. You're a head coach. You're going to get a really good defense, right? You're going to get the first pick, and you know you've also got the potential to have the first and fifth pick in the first round. My God, you could score a treasure trove, right? Come on. Perfect job. Say no more.
Yeah, it all makes sense, but we don't as Bears, so I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that's always been the way it is when you're a Bear fan.
I mean, you know, and truth be told in all this, it could work out. And we could all be being hyperbolic right now, but at the same point, I don't think we are. Look, we got 3 games left. Mm-hmm. And what hurts this weekend is the most is, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up, put on your helmets. This is going to make your ears bleed. I'm sorry to say this, but this weekend we're all Packers fans, and it hurts and it sucks, but we're all Packers fans.
I hate the cheeseheads, Ty.
But Dad, if they lose, now the number one pick's in jeopardy, right? Because Atlanta fucking shit the bed and didn't beat the Panthers, and now the Panthers are at, I'm pretty sure they're at Green Bay. So we need Green Bay to win that game. Hopefully that happens.
Come on. Yeah, that's true. We've got to have Green Bay win that game. Absolutely. Well, and if I remember the last couple games of the Panthers,
actually at Carolina, not at Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So it's at Carolina. Weather's probably going to be above freezing.
There's a good chance the Panthers don't win another game. So the Panthers, it's Packers at Panthers, Panthers at Jacksonville, Bucks at Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a real good chance they don't win another
game.
But,
God, if the Packers do it to us. If that's the reason.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that, Ty? I can't even imagine. Listen, the Packers, though, are still playing for a playoff position, though, aren't they?
So
they've got something to play for. This is not just a team that doesn't have anything to play for.
No, and they're coming off a loss, a couple losses.
Right.
So let's talk about our remaining schedule.
Okay. Arizona.
That's a home game this Sunday.
Yep.
Christmas Eve.
Yep.
It's a late game. It's a 4:25
game.
Yeah,
I was kind of surprised. That's why I thought originally it was in Arizona when I saw that it was 4:25.
I'm okay with that. You know, the whiskey will be flowing by then.
All right. Yeah,
might be. We got a little Red Breast Irish whiskey. If you've never had it and you're a drinker and you like whiskey, highly recommended. It's about $66 a fifth, so it's not too bad. But, you know, I do only get it for, celebratory things. And I like drinking on the holidays and kicking back and watching football.
And Red Breast, you can thank us very much for this free advertisement.
Yeah, we don't need ever. Honestly, if anyone ever, if we ever became big enough, they would be so pissed because I would not take any advertisement. Just to go off on a little tangent here, I am so sick of every fucking podcast in the world that gets an audience, goes, hey, check out our Patreon. It's only $5. That's less than a cup of coffee a month. It's like, dude, this whole thing is supposed to be free. And then now they won't cuss on it. Because they get demonetized in the beginning because of the algorithms and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck. You know this podcast. You know where we are. If you want to listen, tune in. It's not hard to find. I tell the listeners, please spread the word. If you know anyone that's a Bears fan and they like stuff, you know, give us a shot. If you hate our guts, call us, tell us. I will never take money and just, the most I hate hearing about a podcast is like us and you talking right now, and then all of a sudden it just breaks in and goes, hey guys, have you ever heard of so-and-so? Well, they're a big fan of this podcast. It's like, yeah, is it cool? I get why they do it to get money, but I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to do that. I'll be like, hey, if you want to advertise, I'll put your name in the link and in the description that no one reads. You know what I mean? Like, that's my whole thing. I think when podcasts first came out, it was like a cool way to interact, speak your mind. Everything was free, and now it's like, oh, now we're just fucking radio again.
And you know, Ty, that's what I love about you. You are who I see.
Yeah,
what I see is what I get. I've always loved that about you.
But it doesn't make sense, right? Like, why are we going to sit here and then half our episode, we're going to talk for 40 minutes and the other 20 is going to be filled up with ads that people are just hitting skip on just to get a paycheck? Like, go fuck yourself. Anyhow, our last remaining games are, we're home to the Cardinals, we're home to the Falcons, and we're away at the Packers. I mean, I would love to beat the Packers regardless.
Yeah,
it
would always be good. It's a good year if we can beat the Packers.
We should beat the Cardinals handedly, which means we'll probably lose. That's what we do. We talked about this earlier. It'd just be so the Bears to shit the bed on this one.
It would be. We can't close out a game. I mean, we are the ultimate team that when it's time to put our foot on the offensive gas pedal, takes our foot off and starts breaking consistently.
And by breaking, three straight runs, three straight outs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be great. I would love. I mean, any time we can beat the Packers, man, I'm in. I'm in 110%. Would love to beat them to end out the year. I love the fact that the Panthers have that type of schedule. I think we're in really good shape to remain and get the good pick. It'll be close. What will be interesting, though, is where that second first-round pick lands. Not just the first.
Yeah,
first round pick.
I mean,
it's really kind of that second one, because God dang, I just am so impressed by that Marvin Harrison Jr., man. I want him on our team. I want DJ Moore on one side. I want him on the other side.
It would be awesome. I'm not debating that. I'm just saying, you obviously can't take him one. I mean, I think I pretty made a good point to where even you nodded your head and kind of understood.
Yeah, I know. I had to coalesce to that.
But, you know, emotions run high this time of year.
They do.
So, I mean, we got a little time left. I think that's good on Bears talk. I think the playoffs are coming up, and I personally think there's a clear-cut winner to the Super Bowl. Sorry. Right. Clear-cut winner to go to the Super Bowl on the NFC side. I think the Niners are in a whole nother league.
I absolutely do, and I think there's a clear-cut winner on the AFC side.
I do not. Okay. I think that is a...
Not me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ravens, man.
Ooh. See, I don't know.
Yeah.
They've been playing close games.
I
Buffalo's hot. That scares me. Buffalo got hot.
Oh, Buffalo is hot as hell. I mean, they destroyed Dallas.
Who was hot? Dallas came in hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, Dallas came in hot, especially at home.
Yeah, but man, I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah,
Dak looked like shit. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb couldn't get anything going.
Oh, I know. They look. And what was amazing is on that Dallas run defense, Cook destroyed them.
You know who I kind of like? I like Miami, man.
Really?
We've seen, I mean, dude, it's a National Football League. I know it's the Jets, but they put 30 up on the Jets without Tyreek Hill, and that's supposedly a good defense. Then, on top of that, they put up 30 on a good defense, but then their defense got a shutout, and then, you and I sat here, and we told Dolphins fans, we know Vic. We know our boy. Don't panic. he'll get this right.
He'll get that right. Yep. And he did.
He's getting it right. And yep. he's getting it right at the right time. Yep. So with that offense, the only problem is I know that everyone goes, oh, Miami has to play in the cold. I don't think that's a big deal. I think Miami just plays better at home. I think they can win on the road, though.
Oh, absolutely.
They got a big game coming up with Buffalo. I'm pretty sure they still have to play in Miami.
Well, they've got a huge game this weekend against Dallas, right? Miami plays Dallas this weekend. Yeah, that's huge. That's at home.
I think Miami takes care of that.
You think they? Yeah, I kind of lean a little bit toward Miami too. So basically, you have 49ers Dolphins in the Super Bowl. Yes. I have 49ers Ravens in the Super Bowl. That's interesting.
I like what the Dolphins are doing. If Tua stays healthy, I like the Dolphins. I think that they've lost just the right amount of games. I think the Chiefs are going to be good, but I think they might get bounced for the first time in the first round.
Here's the deal. The Chiefs this year, it's...
Well, here's the deal, though. No, we've seen it. I'm glad you brought this up. We should have kicked out Cody Parkey a long time ago. They should do the same thing to Kadarius Toney. He's going to lose them a game.
Oh,
And they can't blame anybody but themselves.
Exactly. He's been great at losing them games. He's been great at dropping balls.
Some say he's the best ever.
Yeah. He's been great at having penalties. I mean, awesome penalties. I mean, Kelce would have had that touchdown was so awesome. Well, it was that back throw from Kelce to Kadarius Toney, right? And they scored. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I just...
Can we talk about the Dolphins' remaining schedule? Yeah. Holy shit. Do you know it?
No.
Ooh.
It's Dallas, I know, this weekend.
Oh, buddy.
At Dallas.
Yeah.
At Miami.
At Miami.
So who's after that? I don't know it.
At the Ravens.
Oh.
And they finish up with the Bills at home.
Oh, my God.
They could... The
Bills at Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a hell of a ball game.
Here's the thing. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
They went out. They're the number one seed.
Wow.
I mean, right? Because Kansas City is 9-5, okay?
Right.
So Kansas, hold on, let me get back to this damn app. So if Kansas and Miami is 10-4. Miami, if they beat Dallas, they'll be 11-4. Let's say the Ravens win, the Ravens will be 12-3. Well, if Miami beats the Ravens, they hold the tiebreaker. They'll be the one seed.
Then
they have to play the Bills, and then what if they could have the ability to knock the Bills out of the playoffs? But regardless, it doesn't even matter because Miami's going to be playing that game hard because of the Ravens. Let's look at the Ravens' remaining schedule. This is very interesting, down to the wire.
Yeah.
So the Ravens have a... Ooh. Ooh, boy.
Ravens play the 49ers
on next. Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night. Christmas night. But who's after that?
Then they have the Dolphins, like we said.
Right.
They finish with the Steelers, which should be a win.
Oh, absolutely a win.
Miami could be the number one overall seed.
Yeah they could.
Would that change your opinion if Miami gets the number one overall seed?
Yes, it would. Miami gets the number one overall seed. I could see your prediction being true. 49ers, Miami. I still lean with my Ravens. I mean, I'm not a Ravens fan, by the way. You know that. But I still think the Ravens are extremely well coached. They've got, like Miami, they have a great defense. They've lost a couple guys on offense.
And this gets more interesting as we go along. The Bills schedule is cake from here on out, except the last game against the Dolphins.
They play
tomorrow, Saturday, only on Peacock. So just let everyone know, only on Peacock.
Who do they play tomorrow?
Chargers.
Oh, my God. That's a win.
Oh, it gets better. Guess who they play next week at home? Patriots.
Okay, so immediately, wherever they're at now, you add two wins on.
So that they'll be 10-6. Excuse me, 10-6.
Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting?
The AFC has a...
This is going to be a shit show at the end.
I didn't know how close it was at the end. You know what?
This is going to be an absolute shit show between Miami, Buffalo, and the Ravens.
Well, hold on. Let's throw Kansas City into the mix. Because, you know, think about it. If Kansas City wins out and those teams lose, you know, we're looking at a shakeup here.
Yeah, go ahead. Check out Kansas City's remaining schedule because... Here's my concern about Kansas City. I'll be right up front with you.
I think we already talked about it.
I don't. They just don't have the weapons. They have Mahomes, Kelsey, Rice is becoming a weapon. Rest of the wide receivers, you can write them off.
Man, on paper, Chiefs should win out.
Who do they got?
Raiders Monday at 1:00.
Yep, I knew that one.
Bengals at Chiefs. 425.
Oh my God.
And Chase is out. Separated shoulder. That's killing my playoff potential in fantasy. That would be the championship game.
Okay.
Chiefs at Chargers.
Oh my God.
This is going to get crazy. These last 3 weeks for the AFC is going to be nuts.
You know what? We may not know until the very last week.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. We might not know.
We really might not know.
Especially with the Dolphins playing. If the Dolphins beat the Cowboys and then beat the Ravens, that is a huge game against the Bills.
Man, I love football.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, even, like, look at us. We're sitting here talking about teams that aren't ours and we still get excited. At the end of the day, man, nothing beats it. Nothing beats the NFL, in my opinion. I know a lot of people like college. I like college, too.
Yeah,
but I don't have that diehard allegiance like I do towards the Bears.
Well, there's such parity in the NFL. It is true that on any given Sunday, anyone could win.
Right.
That is more true in the NFL than any other sport.
Right.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, real quick, I think it's funny that Brock Purdy, they did this meme where they're like, Brock Purdy's only making like $850K a year and... Arch Manning at Texas with his NIL deals is making $2.5 million, and someone put, what a disgrace. And I'm like, hey buddy, just to let you know, Brock, his family isn't like world famous, so like even if Arch wasn't playing, he'd probably still be worth more than $2.5 million. So I mean, you want to talk about inflated stats? Yeah. Like, calm down, yeah, bud.
You can
calm
take it, down. You can kind of take it easy. It's all right.
Like, look at his family and what the empire they've. I mean, yeah. Now they have Omaha Productions.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I know, I know. So. And you know, the big thing is he's been living with a roommate, and you know, Brock Purdy and the roommate have been sharing expenses.
Yes. Yeah. So,
yeah,
that's and all.
I'm like Mr. DeVito that's been living in his parents' basement.
Smart though, I would, making that much money playing in New York. Yeah, I would.
I'm not making fun of the guy. I just think he's a wonderful story, man.
For now, I mean, have you seen him at Syracuse? Ooh, he was horrible. Like it's gonna come out.
Yeah, he was. But what did I see, Ty? And this is totally unrelated. But he just got two like patents on. Two different kind of website names on his something related to kind of DeVito. I don't know. I'm gonna have to look at that. It was kind of crazy, but it was kind of fun at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give it up to him and his agent, both living in the moment.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
Like his agent. I mean, his agent's trying to tell everyone he. I always dress like this, whether that's true or not. The American Italian
Hall of Fame
image that he's. Well, yeah, he is in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, because he wore the jacket last weekend, buddy.
So, no, fun fact is he actually got that call in August. He was actually a quarterback and stuff and played in Division I.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I listened to an interview with part of my take on him, and I was like, oh. Like, he goes, everyone has a timing. And you want to know what the funniest part was?
What's that?
He goes, they go, you know when you were on the sideline and you were talking? And he goes, yeah, I was closing a deal. He goes, oh, and they're like, oh, and you didn't know the cameras were on you? And he's like, you want to know the actual truth? And they're like, yeah. He goes, I got four daughters. He goes, I always, when daddy's out of town, I read the bedtime story to the youngest one over the phone. That's really what I was doing. He's like, yeah, nothing to do with. And I was like, see, that's cool.
I gotta love that. Man.
And for them to see the opportunity and the window that they have with the chicken cutlets and the Italian, forget about it. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it. Like they're capitalizing in the moment. Good for them.
Take it and run with it, baby. Take it and run.
So that's all for this week. Sorry that it took so long to get out, but we will have another one. We'll probably do one. I don't know. Maybe Christmas Day. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Maybe the day after Christmas? Will you?
No, I won't be here.
Okay. All right.
I'll be in Pennsylvania.
All right.
We'll have to figure something out. But we will. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to those who don't celebrate Christmas. We understand. Hope everyone has a good
holiday. Happy Hanukkah for some of you out there.
Yeah, and hope everyone just has a good holiday. I mean, if you're not a fan of the holidays, hopefully you find some cheer in there. I know everyone's not a fan. Me, personally, I absolutely love it. I love the holidays. I love time with friends and family. And so from our podcast to your families, Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, Bear fans.
And remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.